This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with bolt cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our Chiefs insider, Joshua Briscoe. A lot of Chiefs news coming out. Briscoe, how you doing today, my man?
I'm good, and I was excited for that buzzer beater because, as you said, it really looked like a Hail Mary. So I got just a little bit of football to get me ready for March Madness. My college basketball season starts tomorrow, so I'm in a great mood, and I've got my bracket filled out with no real intelligence behind it. I also landed at Florida-Houston, so I feel like I'm in good shape. You really filled me with some confidence here. I'm going to go ahead and put the house on just some really insane parlays.
Yeah, you know what? I feel good that you and I are on the same page when it comes to who we're picking. I think that Florida and Houston are the two favorites. I'm picking Houston to win the entire thing.
You have lots of really good reasons, and I was like, it'd be fun to root for the Gators. So that's kind of how I broke a few of those close games on the way. But I mean, again, we're going to the same place here now, win or lose.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe here, getting you ready for, I guess, the Chiefs offseason as it continues to move forward. What was your biggest takeaway from the Chiefs bringing back Kareem Hunt? We'll move that aside from them bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster, but let's start with them bringing back Kareem Hunt. I don't really see the purpose of having both Kareem Hunt and Elijah Mitchell, and I thought when they brought back Mitchell, that means they weren't going to bring back Kareem Hunt. Obviously, they brought both of them back. They have not committed a lot financially to either player, so I don't know if an injury happens or you need to make a cut. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to be unwilling to make that move, but I am a little bit surprised that they brought both of those guys back.
I was also a little bit surprised to see Hunt's deal, especially considering it is relatively early in kind of that like last round of veteran little 1 year kind of tack on signings. I thought they could have waited and maybe they couldn't have. I'm guessing they could have. I thought Kareem Hunt could be a post draft re-signing for the Chiefs, like where you let all that play out and bring him in. But with that being said, I do not think this changes their draft plans at all. All of these guys on the last year of their deals, they have to draft a younger running back with some explosion, who's under contract for multiple years. Like, I think that's going to happen regardless of Kareem Hunt being here. So I don't want anybody to be freaking out like, oh man, they're not going to go that way in the draft. Now that Hunt's here, I still think they're going to draft a guy. With that in mind, I think this is a tiny bit of a lesson they learned last year, where going through training camp, it was Isaiah Pacheco, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Carson Steele, Denarik Prince, the other P. Ryan has been in the mix the last couple of years. Like, Keontae Ingram was the other guy. Like, maybe he'll be the third down back. And ultimately, I think the Chiefs got bit last year by not having actual veteran running backs on the roster who they knew could set the floor there. Because Steele obviously is an undrafted free agent. He couldn't be that guy after Pacheco got hurt. Clyde wasn't in a position to be that guy. So ultimately, I just think this is redundancies where if Elijah Mitchell gets hurt in training camp, Kareem Hunt is on the roster. If Elijah Mitchell has a really good camp in preseason, I think Kareem Hunt is probably one of the veterans on the practice squad next year, where they can just say, hey, we've got the guys in the building. And I've thought back several times to Samaje Perine being a post-cutdown addition. I think Samaje Perine probably has a larger role with this team if he would have been there in training camp. So I think it's a very small reaction, not even an overreaction, just a reaction to where the running back room is last year. I wouldn't sweat it, but I was a little bit surprised for Hunt to come back.
Let's talk about Juju Smith-Schuster. He coming back to the Kansas City Chiefs as well. My biggest takeaway is the Chiefs have communicated to me that they think they were going to have a top 10 offense in the league if it wasn't for injuries. Now, I'm looking at the injuries that they had. I mean, their number one wide receiver basically missed the entire season. Hollywood Brown also basically missed the entire season. And their best running or their best wide receiver from last year weighs 165 pounds. Like, injuries is just going to have to be something that you're likely going to have to manage. There's not a lot of explosiveness as of now in the run game. I don't love their offensive philosophy, and I want them to get younger and more explosive. But the Chiefs clearly feel like heading into the year, they were about to have a big season offensively, if not for the injury setbacks.
Yeah, and I think Juju is an answer to a very similar question to what Kareem Hunt is the answer to, which is what happens if injuries do show up again in a similar way? Now, look, I think you could have a little bit of fear that Andy Reid and even Matt Nagy and even Patrick Mahomes, frankly, might all be a little too in love with the known quantity. But man, like, Juju Smith-Schuster made plays last year. He was a useful guy to have in this offense, but you want him to be in an appropriately sized role. The reason that I'm glad Juju is back is also in connection with the guys who aren't back. Justin Watson was gone early in free agency. Mecole Hardman, I think, had a visit with Green Bay, maybe. I don't know where he's going to end up, obviously, but I think what the Chiefs have decided, and where I was hoping they would be, is among, and DeAndre Hopkins too, among Hopkins, Juju, Watson, and Hardman, I thought, you know what, if they bring one of those guys back, I'll be happy. If they try to bring two of those guys back, I'll live with it, but I think Nico Remigio is ready for that Mecole Hardman role, and the other guys are, and I mean, Watson and Hopkins, I think, have done all, they did all they could. Watson over many years, and Hopkins, we saw where he was at by the end of last season. Certainly a limited player there. So I'm good having one veteran, floor setter, dirty work type of guy on the roster. And I would have rather had Juju than Justin Watson to fill that role.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. We actually got a little bit of breaking news. Cam Robinson is going to be the left tackle for the Houston Texans. He has signed a one-year deal that is worth $12 million that can be up to $14.5 million. Now that we have the contract, would you rather have Cam Robinson on his deal or Jalen Moore on his?
I'm surprised by the Cam Robinson deal just being 1 year, but I think I'm sticking to my guns. What was the number again? I'm just pulling up 14 and a half. All right. Yeah. I'm good with getting basically 2 years and it's another $7 million to have Jalen Moore be the guy with a little bit more upside there. I think Cam Robinson would have been a better answer than 2025 Donovan Smith, but I think Jalen Moore has the upside to be something where the Chiefs are getting value at a position that's very, very, very difficult to find value. Presumably Robinson wants to play 1 year, protect CJ Stroud, try to stay healthy for a full season, and then he'd hit free agency again before he turns 30, I think, or maybe he would be 30 at this time next year. Cam Robinson, that is. So younger player with a little bit of a bet to hedge with Jalen Moore. I'm good with that. I think I would have rather had, probably would have rather had Stanley on the deal he went back to Baltimore on. But other than that, Jalen Moore is the next best contract for me.
What do you think their pass rush plan is?
I would be at this point, I would give you the field and take defensive line in the first round. I don't know exactly how the board's going to fall. Obviously, I don't know who they're in love with, but I think there has to be probably two of those early picks, let's say through day two, through the two third round picks. I think they could double dip on the defensive line there. And Nate Taylor said yesterday that he thinks Charles Omenihu is going to be more of a, he could be a post-draft free agent landing spot kind of guy. I think Omenihu's market has just not been what he hoped it would be. The Chiefs are waiting it out. Now, I think bringing back Omenihu, definitely adding a young pass rush defensive tackle, another guy who can kind of do some three tech stuff along the rotation with Chris Jones. Jerry Tiller, I think, is a nice addition to that as well. And then they got to bring back Mike Pinnell. I imagine there's not really a nose one tech on this roster right now that you trust, but I think they're going to throw some young numbers at it. And I'm good with that at this point. I think pay Omenihu for another 1 year deal if you can get that done, and then just draft across the defensive line, overdraft the defensive line, take two hits out of four picks if you want. If you got to all the way through the compensatory picks in the seventh round, they have a chance now to kind of build a new young class of pass rushers across that defensive line, because George Karlaftis isn't that guy anymore. We know what he is. There are not enough upside unknowns in this mix. Karlaftis is just good and expensive. Mike Dana, or will be expensive for Karlaftis, I should say. Mike Dana is getting paid at least what he's worth. Omenihu's going to get paid at least what he's worth. I think Omenihu would be great, and then it is double dipping on the defensive line in the draft.
Yeah, I don't really know what kind of market Charles Omenihu was expecting there to be for him. I mean, think of the last 2 years. His first year in Kansas City, he missed the early part of the season because he was suspended for domestic violence. He then missed a lot of 2024 with a torn ACL, and he had one sack this past season. What kind of market did Omenihu think was coming? He thought he was getting 15 per for one sack last year and coming off an ACL tear. That was a very unrealistic understanding of what he was going to get.
And I think it might be even less about that number, which I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he's thinking. I think he was looking for multiple years, which in the context of what his last 2 years have been, really felt like a reach from the beginning. So it's not great for him. I would say it's unfair. I mean, the suspension is what it was. The injury was terrible timing and all of that. I think if Charles Omenihu was hitting free agency with his five best games of the last 2 years, he would get a real deal, like a top-end pass rusher. But to your point, he hasn't been able to prove that consistently. And again, him getting hurt and having to come back off an ACL and being a little bit diminished but still being a really good player, that's not his fault. That's bad luck. But that's what the market is telling him right now. And to the Chiefs' benefit here, I think Charles Omenihu in 2025 could be much more like that fresh off suspension version of him that we saw 2 years ago. It could be a guy that really makes an impact for this team that would outshine what they would have to pay him for one of these 1 year deals. I just think he's trying to get some guaranteed money right now. And I don't see that coming. I think his best bet is to take one more year with the Chiefs, be here healthy throughout all of training camp, out snap Mike Dana, and then hit free agency again next year with 15 to 17 healthy games under your belt.
That was our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show today. He is our Chiefs insider. Fantastic stuff from him. Briscoe, before we get you out of here, what's your favorite basketball movie?
I think I gave you a really Air Bud. I thought of it. I got there. I think I've given you a disappointing answer to a similar question before. The answer is Air Bud, Carrington. Second place, Flubber.
Rob, hang up the phone, please. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.